This is The Bible Says with Mike Hughes, author, speaker, and evangelist for the Spring Hill Church of Christ, Spring Hill, Louisiana. Make sure you download the note card for today's lesson by going to our website, michaelrhughes.com. Once you're there, click on Sermons, which you'll see right below the photo of the Bible. Next, scroll down until you see the list of lessons and choose this lesson. To the right of the lesson, click Listen. Finally, at the bottom of the audio player, click Details, and then click the lesson title beneath the player and download the note card. Now, let's join Mike with today's message.
We also see not only is it based upon God's failure, they base it on what is figurative language. Figurative language has to be made literal. Figurative passages are true. They represent something that is indeed real, but they are yet representative, not to be understood as literally fulfilled by being the actual thing started. The Bible uses many figures of speech. Revelation 1:1, the book of Revelation, is a book of signs and symbols. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place, he made known by sending his angels to the servant John. He signified these things. Also, we see the millennialists literalize figurative language and make evil good and good evil. Revelation compared to the epistles. When you compare Revelation 20, Revelation 15, misapplying prophetic language and rejecting divinely inspired interpretation. Daniel 2:44. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. He said to them, truly I say to you, there are some, watch this now. He said, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God after it comes with power. Now, if the kingdom of God has not come yet, if we have to go through a church age, a grace period, whatever you want to call it, if prophetic time stopped at the cross, Jesus said this prior to the cross, are those people that Jesus refers to as not tasting death till the kingdom comes, are they in suspended animation? I had never had anybody explain that to me, if they are. I've asked several proponents, very well-educated proponents, PhDs and other degrees, this very question, and they can't answer that. They haven't answered that. They poo-poo my take on this. But yet, there's Jesus saying that. So they have to be in some kind of animation or be brought back to life. Nothing said about that. It says they will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. And of course, we know there's a lot of power they talk about with those wars and all that, or the Battle of Armageddon, and then the kingdom as they teach, and then the Battle of Gog and Magog. It's scripture. And then let's notice this. Let's notice the biblical descriptions of Jesus' return. The Bible tells us it will return with noise. There will be a shout. There will be a voice of the archangel. The trumpet of God will sound. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. I want you to notice who is not considered in this passage. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we have he's going to return with his holy angels. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus grants relief to you who are afflicted as well as us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to happen when Jesus is revealed from heaven. Now, let's try to get around that by saying there's two returns. There's a first, second return they claim is invisible. And they'll tell you these scriptures don't apply to that return. But how can 1 Thessalonians 4 apply to that return and not 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7? That's a hard one to figure out as well. But it does. It will occur suddenly and unexpectedly. Concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Notice that. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up, dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Revelation 22:10. He who testifies to these things says, surely I come soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. And we note this is going to be a visible return. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. You can tie this over to Daniel chapter 7. Acts 1 verse 9. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same manner as you saw him go. He went visibly, he'll come visibly. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him, all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Now, the premillennialists try to say that we're the only generation that every eye can see him. That through the magic of television, that there will be reporters reporting as soon as they realize Jesus is on a cloud on his way down. And they will show it on every television set. But still, if they get it on every channel, if someone don't have a television set on, they're not going to see it. Asleep, they're not going to see it. A lot of problems with saying that has to be prophecy about television. Then, simultaneously, watch this. All the dead will rise. Does away with a 1,000-year difference between the righteous reign and the unrighteous reign. Notice John 5:28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour, that's one, is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Who is that? A-L-L, all. will hear his voice and come out. Now he gives the categories of these all. Those who have done good, they're going to come out to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, to the resurrection of judgment. One resurrection, two groups. John 6, verse 39. He says, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Whoever feeds my flesh on my flesh, drinks on my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But we see that this is still a group that is a part of that category that's going to be raised on the last day, the righteous and the unrighteous. He's going to judge the world on the last day, not two judgments, not a white throne judgment, and then a judgment of the wicked. John 17, verse 31. The times of this ignorance God overlooked, now commands all men everywhere to repent. Watch verse 31, though. We've read that verse a lot. We quote that verse a lot. But 31 says, here's why. He's asking people to repent. Because he has fixed a day, not 2 days, 1,000 years apart, a day, on which he will judge the world in righteousness. His judgment is going to be righteous, whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Because he's been raised from the dead, we will be raised from the dead to face judgment. Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate the people one from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is the only judgment takes place in heaven, is what this shows. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is done for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Revelation 20 and 12. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. The books were open. Another book was open. And watch this. The dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Romans 2:16. On that day, in other words, notice a single day, not two different days, not a day when the prophetic clock starts again, and then 1,000 years later, the unrighteous are raised. No, it says a day when Christ comes back. On that day, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men. What's going to be used as a standard to judge us? John 12:48, Jesus said, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I spoke will judge him when? On the last day. Only one day. See how this all harmonizes? Glorified saints, we talked about. Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear, will appear with him in glory. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Tie this with 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishably, and we shall be changed. Revelation 22:14, blessed are the dead, are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Matthew 25:46, these signs will go away bad. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now we looked at 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Now we looked at 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Let's continue that on out to verse 9. Let's look at that passage again. To grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Matthew 25, Jesus says in verse 41, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's that final, one and only final judgment. And in Revelation 20:12, notice if you will, Revelation 20:12. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then he says, Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No three or four deaths taking place. And then the Bible talks about destroying the present order and establish new heavens and earth. Notice 2 Peter 3:10. This is going to happen when the Lord returns. The day of the Lord, there's when he returns, will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up. The earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of person ought you to be in lives of holy godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire, watch that, and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth, which righteousness dwells. That's where it's going to dwell. The new heaven, the new earth. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who seek thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that home from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared, watch this, for them a city. Revelation 22, verse 14, Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. Remember, the tree of life was lost in Genesis 3. That they may enter the city by the gates. Remember, human flesh cannot partake of the tree of life. They were driven out of the garden, lest they come back and partake of the tree of life. Tree of life is what keeps you alive in eternity. That's what your food will be. And then, after all this takes place, simultaneously raise all the dead on the last day, judge the world on the last day, glorify the saints, punish the wicked, destroy the present order, establish a new heavens and new earth. Then, he will deliver the kingdom to the Father. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:23. Last passage. Each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule, every authority, every power. For he must reign until... Reign's happening now. He must reign until, reigning now, until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed, death. You know, death would have been destroyed if he had raised his saints. It would have already been destroyed, so that's not the case. Verse 27, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will be subject to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Now, when Jesus returns, as we talk about eschatology, the study of last things, the study of the last day, the study of Christ coming. Is it a amillennial? That is Christ been reigning since he went back to heaven from the cross? Or is it a premillennial? Are we expecting two second comings of Christ? A one where a rapture occurs and the righteous are released from the graves, and then after 1,000 years, then the tribulation of 7 weeks, 1,000-year reign of Christ, then he comes back and resurrects the wicked, and then a final great white throne scene judgment occurs? Is that what we're to see? R is, as we explained, about a post-millennial, a tribulation taking place, and then the saints taken out as the millennium starts. So the basis of millennialism is based on this, of millennialism. When's this millennial occur? How should we approach Scripture? You see, as we approach Scripture, the biblical descriptions, as we've seen, of Jesus' return leaves no place for a future millennialism. Things that the Bible says will occur when Jesus returns leaves no place for millennialism, a future millennialism. Jesus is returning. We see that he says he will judge in the last day, John 12:48. We see he will judge the world. He will reward the obedient and exact vengeance upon those who do not obey. And then we've read in 2 Peter 3:9 already that the world is going to be destroyed. So how could the world be destroyed if we have a premillennial kingdom here on the earth and such a thing as a second chance of being resurrected to a second chance? You have to take advantage of the gospel now. Are you ready? That is the question. If you've listened and watched this lesson, you may be interested to know what you must do to be saved. If you do not believe Jesus said that I am he, you will die in your sins. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Listen, for as many as you as were baptized into Christ have done, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Jesus says.
This has been The Bible Says, with author, speaker, and evangelist Mike Hughes for the Spring Hill Church of Christ, meeting at 405 Butler Street in Spring Hill, Louisiana.
You wash your sins away, then walk in His light upon your heavenly way.
We offer numerous resources on our website at michaelrhughes.com. M-I-K-E-A-L, michaelrhughes.com. There you'll find tracts, workbooks, and past sermons to help you in your spiritual growth in Christ. If you're in the Spring Hill area, we invite you to our service on Sunday at 9:45 for Bible class, 10:35 for morning worship, and again at 6 p.m. for evening worship. Wednesday, we meet at 6:30 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. We invite you to subscribe to our email list to be notified of new material added to our website by writing to macmichael@me.com.